Não deixa.
Don't blame me, blame Bill Gates. Computer won't boot up. It's taking forever. Computer is taking forever to boot up. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, is beyond description. Tatascha buddhya gochara vastu tvad anirdesha tvam. Tatapi tatrupam kinchit asti. Iti udishyamana tvam nirdesha tvam cha. And therefore, even though he is indescribable, because he is an entity, beyond the scope of intelligence to know. He is, at the same time, describable because it is indicated in words that he has some form. Okay.
We've heard a whole argument, a number of arguments, how it is that he's indescribable. But also he is describable. Because the Vedas say something about what he is. That's description. So we have to accept that he's both indescribable and describable.
Tata paroksha jnani cha dashamas tvamasi itivad vakya shravanamatrena tasya svaprakasha rupasyapi vastuno vishidachite shu prakasha darshanat shruti shabdasya Saprakashata Shakti Mayatvam Ev Avasiyate. So also in the matter of knowledge which is beyond the senses, we see that when persons with purified hearts simply hear the statement of Shruti, the form of the self-manifesting reality reveals itself in their hearts, working the same way as with the statement, you are the tenth. Ha. Okay. We see that people with purified hearts hear the Shrutis and the absolute truth reveals itself by its own power, shows itself to those who hear the Shruti with a pure heart. This statement, you are the tenth, is given an example. You may not know what that is. I think that's mentioned in the commentary. We'll leave that aside for now. This leads to the conclusion that the language of the Shruti possesses the potencies of self-manifestation. This is the Supreme Lord's own energy, the energy by which he shows himself. He invests that energy in the Vedas, so the Vedas can reveal him because he has put in that potency of his own, the potency by which he shows himself. He's deposited that potency within the Vedas. Uktam cha shabda brahma param brahma mamo beshashvati tanu iti vedasya cheshvaratma twad iti. Those are two statements. Statement: there are such statements as the transcendental sound of the Vedas and the supreme transcendence are both my eternal bodies. So the Vedas are a manifestation. He says they're my body. They're a manifestation of me and my potencies. And the statement is also there, because the Vedas are of the Supreme Lord's substance. So they're not different from him, the Vedas. Vedo Narayanat Sakshad Swayambhur Iti Shushuma. We have heard from authorities that the Veda is Narayan himself and is self-born. And finally, Kimva Parayar Ishvaraha Sadyo Ridya Varudyate Chakriti Bhiksu Shushubi tachana iti cha. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Well, that's in reference to the power of hearing Bhagavatam, how it reveals the Supreme Lord. Ata eva aupanishadat purusha itradro panishan matra damyatvam shrutir bodhayati chakshusham rupam itivad. Thus, in the words, the Upanishadic Purusha, the Shruti is making it known that he is understood only from the Upanishads. Similarly to visible form, which is known by the sense of sight. It's understood that particular forms of perception are known by particular senses. Visual perception has to come from the eyes. Auditory perception has to come through the ears. So each sensation is limited to being accessible to a certain organ. Similarly, perception of the Supreme Absolute Truth is limited, access to it is limited to access through the Vedas. The only sense, the only instrument by which we can know the Absolute Truth is the Vedas. Okay, this example, Dashamas Twamasi. It's supposed to be from an Upanishad, but I can't trace it, what Upanishad this story is from. But spiritual master is placed a puzzle in front of his disciple. He brings him out in the city street, and he says, how many people do you see here? And he looks around and counts, 9 people. And so he says, sir, I see 9 people. There are 9 people here. And he says, you're wrong. Count again. He looks, he only sees 9 people. And this guru says, no, there are 10 people here. You didn't count yourself. You're the 10th. Anyway, I guess the moral of the story is that only by hearing from authority the reality that there's actually 10 people there, not 9. Your senses tell you only 9 people there. But the Shastra tells you, the guru here, acting as Shastra, is telling no. The authority is saying, no, there are 10 people here. So that's knowledge which is aparoksha, beyond what we can see with our senses. We can gain that only by taking it from Shastra, from Shruti. Okay, the commentary says, philosophers of the Vaisheshika school describe the senses of the living entities as specialized, each perceiving a different kind of sensation. Visual perception is special to the sense of sight, and normally is not accessed by the other senses, nor does the visual sense perceive sound or touch. The Vaisheshika use this principle of there being a special object for each sense to try to prove the existence of the soul. Each sense organ has its own object. So the mind, which is also a sense organ, must have its special object that it perceives. That is what we call the soul. The special object that's perceived by the mind is called the soul. That's their argument. Okay, any comments?
In this example, I remember once it was said, I think Shoji Ugaswami, that was in Argo, he said that when we look with the eyes, we can see everything except the eyes themselves. So maybe in this example of you are the tent also implied that we cannot see ourselves, we cannot see maybe as we can see through the Shastras, maybe it's in some ways won't This implies that Shastras are a manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Krishna Himself. Like we can see through the Shastras, but we cannot see Shastras themselves. Like we cannot see that Shastras are a manifestation of Supreme Lord. I don't know, maybe it's...
See the gross body in the mirror through external object. Similarly, the mind is external and we see the soul is our external to the soul, the subtle body. Mind is the subtle body. Gross body, Panchabhuta, we see in the mirror. Similarly, the soul is our own self.
Yes.
That we see in the mind of the mirror, how is that?
I guess so. This is the Vaisheshika argument. I don't remember them actually saying that. So I guess that's what they mean, is that in the mind you can see the soul reflected. You see, you in the mind are, we get the images of desires, of thoughts and desires. So the Vaisheshika philosophers understand that these are coming from the soul. Desires are coming from the person. They're not coming from some, you know, they're not just mechanical. So that is the reflection of the soul. His thoughts and his desires are reflected in the mind. Yes.
Also, I remember in one of the previous initiatives it was said that Vedas describe Supreme Lord as being indescribable. So, but it looks like that in this context, Shilji Goswami says that we can understand him not only as being indescribable, but completely as he is, like in all his potencies. Previously it was said that the Supreme Lord is described by being indescribable.
Yes.
But here it looks like that Shilji Goswami says that we can understand him as he is, like Upanishadah Purushah and so on, the Sadhya Kriti Vrutya Tetra, that we can, the Supreme Lord, he manifests himself completely in our heart. So, we not only understand that he is indescribable and that's it, but we can understand him completely. Looks like so.
We can understand him as he is. I don't know if we should say we can understand him completely.
I don't think we can capture the Lord in our heart, but there's part of him that's still outside. As much as we know about him, there's a lot more we don't know. So nobody can know everything about him, so he can't be known completely. All right, okay. We'll try the next paragraph. 37. Tatascha Shruti Maya Swaprakashata Shaktiya Prakrita Tat Tad Vastu Jatam Tama Iva Nirasya Swayam Prakashate. And thus, when the self-manifesting potency of the Shruti has, that means the power the Shruti has to manifest the Supreme, or by which the Supreme manifests himself, that energy that's in the Shruti, when that potency has refuted all varieties of material entities, then the Supreme manifests himself. So the Shrutis don't do anything to him to make him manifest. He manifests himself, but he waits until the Shrutis have negated everything material, and then he shows himself. Tasman Natatrapi Nirdeshya Twam. Thus, even though this is so, he is not something to be described. See, the Vedas don't describe him. They don't have the power to do that. But they arrange a situation by which he can describe himself. He shows himself. They don't make him show.
But they negate everything material that he describes himself. So we still say that he's anidesha. Nothing can describe him, but he can describe himself. Nahi swena prakashena rafik prakashyo bhavati yatatena gata iti vaktum yujyate swa abhinatvat. It is not correct to say that the sun is illumined by its own illumination, as a clay pot is illumined by it. Since the sun and its light are non-different, so we can say the sun is making the pot visible. But we don't, it's not right exactly to say the sun is making itself visible, because it's not a separate object that it acts on. The sun and its light are non-different. They're one and the same. So the sun just is visible. It's not the sun has to treat itself as a separate object and make itself visible. We say self-luminous, but it doesn't mean that the sun has to shine some special light on itself to make itself visible. It is, by nature, visible. Yadi cha shakti shakti matur beda pakshak svikriyate tada nirdesha tvama piti atra anirdesha tvainaiva nirdesha tvam siddham. But if we take the viewpoint that the energy and the possessor of energy are different, because you've got two different viewpoints, the energy and the possessor of energy are non-different, but they're also different. So let's take the side that they're different, emphasize that. Then he is describable then, if we look from that point of view, of his being different than his energies. And so it is established here in the prayers of the personified Vedas that he is described as indescribable. Okay. His energies are describing him. The Vedas are his energies. They're describing him. So you can say, okay, something separate is describing him. If you take if you're looking at the energies as separate. Therefore, the Guru Purana says, Ata evoktam garude, aprasidhir avachyam tad, vachyam sarvagamoktitaha, atarkyam tarkyam agyeyam, gyeyam evam param smritam. So the Guru Purana says, he is not describable in words because he is unknown. And he is describable in words by the statements of all the agamas. He is thus uninferable and inferable, unknowable and knowable, the supreme immortal. What is an agama? Well, agam means to come, but it doesn't mean come down. Well, okay, I mean, I don't think they say like that. Agamas, anyway, the nigama is the original Vedas. The agama are the tantras, the literatures that explain the Vedas, especially for people who are not qualified Brahmins to study the Vedas. They can study the agamas. So the agamas include basically all the Shrutis, the Pancharatras, books like that. Pancharatra is the Vaishnava agama.
We have also Vaikanasa agama. We have Pancharatrika agama and Vaikanasa agama. I think in the Manushya Sampradaya they follow in some way this Vedic agama, means Vaikanasa agama.
Yes. Vaikarnasa is an agama, but it's not Pancharatra. It's a different Vaishnav tantra.
By Vaikarnasa Muni, it's agama done by.
Yes. Yeah. But in general, the agamas are tantras. Some of the tantras are in different modes. The sattvika tantras are followed by the Vaishnavas. There are many different tantras.
You said that agamas are refers to the Shrutis and Pancharatra, etc.
Not Shrutis, Smritis.
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 Okay.
Smritis, the secondary literatures are the agamas. But especially the texts that are meant for those who cannot have direct access to the Vedas. Those are the tantras.
Few minutes back, we said that the Vedas negate everything material and Krishna just shows himself.
Well, that's what's been explained here, yes.
And another example quoted, the sun, it's not the sun reveals himself, something, I didn't understand the example quoted for that. The sun example is given,
because the sun doesn't reveal itself. The sun and the lamp are two different things, the sun and the pot. So we say the sun is shining light on the pot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make the same sense to say the sun is shining light on itself. It doesn't have to send its rays out into the, out into outer space. It is. It's visible because it's luminous. So it doesn't have to act on itself as a separate thing. So therefore the sun is not illuminating itself in that sense, the way it's illuminating a pot.
So the example is spoken in reference to the Lord doesn't. What is
the Lord reveals himself. There isn't another thing that's revealing him. He reveals himself. The sun reveals itself. The Lord reveals himself.
So why the ray came into picture now?
I'm sorry.
Why the rays came into picture? Because sun rays.
No, I'm just trying to explain it.
Okay.
No, there's no just mention of rays here, but there's mention of a clay pot that's illumined by the sun.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
And the sun doesn't do the same thing to itself that it does to the pot.
Okay.
It doesn't have to send some light rays 93 million miles to touch the pot.
Okay.
The sun is just self-luminous. Okay. It's just a visible, shining object.
Okay, okay.
Okay, we just read the Garuda Purana. There's also a statement from Shruti. Shrutau cha anya deva tad viditad ato viditad adim. The Shruti says, it is different from what is known and is also different from what is not known. So it's not known and it's not known. The Supreme. It's not knowable and it's not knowable. Idam abhi pretyoktam shri parashareen api. And so Parashara Muni has said, and that's in the Vishnu Purana, yasmin brahmani sarva shakti nilaye manani no mani nam nishtaya prabhavanti handi kalusham shrotram sayato harihi. We proud thinkers try to measure that absolute truth, the source of all energies. When he, Lord Hari, enters the ear, he empowers our speculations to become faithful to him, and he destroys our contamination. So they're trying to figure him out, but ultimately it's he who reveals himself. And then they understand. Okay, commentary. The sun is seen by its own light, but it is not a separate object of perception, like something else seen in the light of the sun. Similarly, when the Supreme reveals himself to our eyes have done nothing to perceive him, and indeed have no power to perceive him. They have only passively received his revelation. Light is the energy of the sun. And as such, it might be considered a separate entity. In that case, it is seen as the active agent, and the sun is its object. Okay, now you could think the sun's own light rays are making it visible. So also you can say the Supreme's energy of self-revelation, however, is different. It cannot subordinate him in any way. Only by his sweet will does his energy show him. Then there's a statement. Anyway, let's see where this is from. Okay, that's that Shruti that said it's different from what is known and different from what is not known. Here's the whole statement, which is from, oh God. Anyway, I can't see here where it's from. I don't want to
change the view.
Okay, I'm losing my place anyway. Hold on. The whole verse is from the Shruti. Natatra chakshur gachati, navag gachati, no manaha, navidmo navijani mo yataitad anushishyad, anyadevatad viditad, ato aviditad adi, iti shushuma purvesham, enastad vyachi chakshide. I got a problem here. I have this marked as one long verse. It's actually two anushruts. This is two verses, not one. I have it formatted. Let me have a comment. This is your file. I want to see it right now. Could you make a note regarding me tomorrow? Which one is this first quoted in 37, the first quarter is actually two verses. Okay? And remind me tomorrow. Okay, this is a translation. The sense of sight does not reach it, nor does speech, nor the mind. We do not really know it, or know how to teach about it. It is other than the known and also other than the unknown, situated beyond both. So much we have heard from previous authorities who have informed us. Okay, so the absolute truth is not knowable by any sense or by the mind. But it reveals itself. Any attempt to subject the Supreme to empirical scrutiny and measurement is sheer arrogance. He never submits to being manipulated for selfish enjoyment.
Okay, comments?
Yes, Guru.
The sun reveals itself. Similarly, the Lord reveals himself, and the Vedas function by negating the whatever is not the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
The energy of the sunlight is compared to the Vedas, which...
What was that last statement?
The sun rays are compared to the Vedas, or how is that? It removes the darkness of the person, or what?
The Supreme Lord reveals himself. But he reveals himself through the Vedas. The Vedas are the means, are the energy of, he uses his energy to reveal himself. He expresses that energy of revealing, that by which he reveals himself, he puts that energy in the Vedas, so he chooses, by his own arrangement, he reveals himself through the Vedas. So the Vedas are the means that he uses to reveal himself. We cannot use the Vedas as a tool to bring the Supreme under our control. He chooses to use the Vedas to reveal himself. And you could say the sun also uses its rays to reveal itself. You could extend the analogy that way. Okay.
So here again, the point is proved that the energetic is always higher than the energy something.
The energetic is the controller of the energy. Mm. And the what it means to be an energy is to be something to be used in the hands of the energetic. That's the meaning of energy. Energy means subordinate.
So similarly, the bhakti shakti is also Krishna chooses him to be revealed through the bhakti shakti. Something?
Yes. But we understand, not from here, but elsewhere, that he gives autonomy to the bhakti shakti. He lets her decide where to give the mercy.
So that means that if Krishna wants, he reveals. That's the whole point. Like, when Krishna wants, he reveals through his energies. That's the whole point about this. When Krishna wants him to be revealed, he reveals through his energies.
Yes. Okay. You can say like that. But Krishna wants to reveal himself to everybody. There are living entities who don't want to see him. They can change their mind, but he's not going to force them to change their mind. He's not going to force them to want to see him. His agents do that for him, because he's taken a vow not to interfere. Living entities chose to rebel against him. He's not going to force them to come back to him. It has to be voluntary. His energies, his agents will encourage living entities to surrender to him, but they're not going to be forced, and he's not going to get involved in the process. Therefore, his agents, like the Vedas, are speaking on his behalf to try to attract the living entities back to him. Yes.
I don't remember exactly the text, but it was said that Vedas first they reject everything material. But I remember in previous Anishedas it was said that in Vedas we have also many positive descriptions. That in Vedas we have also many positive descriptions about his form, his qualities and so on. So does it mean that these positive descriptions, they are in order to attract attention that actually there is Supreme Personality of Godhead? And then also we have some descriptions of Bhakti Yoga in Vedas, how we have to serve him in order to understand him. So looks like that Vedas, they not only reject everything negative about Krishna, but they have also positive information how to actually understand him.
Yes, yes, the Vedas do reveal Krishna, do reveal the Supreme.
But here, Goswami is pointing out that actually he's revealing himself. He's using the Vedas to reveal himself. Yes.
And I'm trying to understand what is the role of the Vedas. Does it mean that they tell, okay, if you won't really understand Krishna, you have to serve him. And then when one serves Krishna, Krishna agrees to manifest before him.
But Krishna reveals many things about himself through the Vedas. At least if we understand the Vedas in the extended sense, the Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami quoted from the Bhagavatam here. Mm-hmm. So, a reference about the Bhagavatam. So Jiva Goswami at least is including the Bhagavatam within the scope of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. The Vedas reveal Krishna. Bhagavatam is a function of the Vedas. It's Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Palam, the ripened fruit of the Vedas. So especially in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is revealing himself in the words of the Bhagavatam. He's using the Bhagavatam to reveal himself.
Brahma Samhita states, Vedascha Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto.
Yes.
How do we understand this?
It doesn't mean that we should throw the Vedas away and just be devoted. It said also, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatika Vidim Vina, devotional service without being based on the authority of the Shruti and the Smriti and other literatures, is just disturbance. It's not real pure devotion. Pure devotion does it. Bhaktiya Shruti Grihitaya. Our devotion should be founded on what we've heard from the Vedic literature. So, the statement that Vedeshu Durlabham means ordinarily, in the way that most people perceive the Vedas. It's very hard for most of the followers of the Vedas, who are Karmakandis and Gyanakandis. It's practically impossible for them to find Krishna, because they're attached to the Karmakanda and Gyanakanda. But I would not take that as a complete negation of the value and authority of the Vedas. That's contradicted by what Krishna himself says in the Gita, and what's said in so many places. Okay? Vedeshu Durlabham, ordinarily he's very hard to find in the Vedas, because most people are seeing just Jnana and Karma and Karmakanda.
Roji, you said Krishna took vow to not interfere in living entities, whatever they have to come voluntarily to him. He's not going to interfere in anyone, like he's not going to force. He took a vow. Where is it stated he took vow? Yeah.
There's some words like that spoken by Narayan in the Priya Bhagavatamrita, when he was talking to Gopakumar.
Oh yeah.
And I think such words are there also elsewhere.
Because in general people they ask, Krishna is, he's supreme. Why don't he make us, by force?
Well, you can explain it, maybe quoting from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a little too esoteric for most people, but you can just tell in common sense terms that love has to be voluntary. What Krishna wants from us is love, not slavish obedience. He doesn't want robots or, mindless slaves. He wants living entities who volunteer, who choose to trust and take shelter of him. That requires making a voluntary choice. Real love has to be voluntary.
Forces it,
then what he gets out of us is obedience, but not love. Okay, yes.
Last comment. So it's about the desire to understand Krishna. Is it something good, like in Bhagavad Gita there are descriptions, Arthakoj Jikyasur, Artharthi Ganisha Bhartarshapha. So Artharthi, I think, is Jigyasu. Jigyasu is those people who wants to understand Krishna. And it's considered they aren't considered to be a pure devotees. So, but actually, is it possessive desire to understand Krishna, or is it negative? Is it something which we have to
reserve? Different degrees. The way that our commentators on the Bhagavad Gita explain it, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Gigyasu is one of those are the four classes of neophyte devotees who are just beginning devotional service. Gigyasu is Prabhupada translated as curious, not really dying to know, but just curious. Sages tend to be curious, like the sages at Naimisharanya. They were curious to hear, but they didn't become really serious about devotional service until after they heard all the other Puranas. In the beginning, they were neophytes. The sages at Naimisharanya are the typical example of the Shushushu. But they weren't very serious, most of them very serious devotees in the beginning. They were just curious.
So can we assume that when one really becomes serious, one of his lakshanas or one of his qualities is that he wants to understand everything about Krishna, is very interesting. Is everything which is connected to Krishna, like his form, his activity, his abode, his devotees. And this is some positive sign of a really serious devotee.
Yeah. The Supreme Lord is very eager to reveal himself. But he has to wait until we're serious, until we're eager to hear it. And he arranges that there are confidential parts of the Vedas that do this revealing. They're already, the words are already there. Words of the Bhagavad Gita are there. The Bhagavatam is there. They've always been there. But until someone is eager, they don't even notice the Gita and the Bhagavatam. They don't even know they're there. Okay, so it's time to start. So we'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.